Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated to get his thoughts on some of the top stories happening in the NFL. And we're going to have him on until the Chiefs figure out what they're going to do at wide receiver. Matt, happy to have you on here. Let's just start with this. You and I imagine we are on the same page. I don't think the Chiefs need to go out and trade for Garrett Wilson or Chris Olave or Tyreek Hill, but just based on how the room has had so much attrition over the course of the last 3 weeks, the Chiefs have to do something at wide receiver, right?
Yes. I think at this point, whether Brett Veach wants to admit it to himself or not, I would imagine he has, they don't have enough. Now, we saw last year they could win the Super Bowl with you and me and somebody from the grocery store playing receiver, and they might be able to figure it out. But there's no margin for error. And, you know, with Juju now dealing with a hamstring, and look, we're not sure how long-term it's going to be, but let's be real. If you're ruled out on a Monday, it's probably going to be more than 1 week. They need to figure this out. You can't have 33 snaps from Sky Moore. You just can't. It's untenable. You're playing 11 on 10. So I think if you're the Chiefs, does it have to be DeAndre Hopkins? No. You know, but I think Deontay Johnson makes sense. I think Darius Slayton makes sense. I will say this. It doesn't have to be a superstar addition. It doesn't have to be Cooper Kupp, which has been talked about, of course, today. It cannot be DeMarcus Robinson. And I don't mean that as a slam on Robinson. I just mean it can't be somebody of Robinson's caliber where you add the guy and just go, okay, we're done now. That doesn't move the needle an ounce. Like, they need to actually go out and acquire somebody who can be at least a second option in the offense.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Verderam, going through some of the wide receiver names that are out there, and we'll get to the top stories as well. All right, let's talk about Cooper Kupp, because Diana Rossini put that report out there earlier today. I don't have much interest in Cooper Kupp. Sure, he was a great player in 2021, but if you're telling me he's worth a second-round pick for a guy who hasn't been healthy in any of the last three seasons, that's just not a player that, to me, makes a lot of sense to justify the cost, and I'm just not sure if he's going to be healthy enough to really help the Chiefs when they need him most.
I would be very surprised if the Chiefs trade for Cooper Kupp. He's 31 years old this year. His base salary for the whole year this year is $15 million. Obviously, prorate that. Next year, it's $12.5 million. The year after that, it's $14.8 million. Now, those aren't huge numbers, but they're significant. And you would want the Rams to eat a lot of that. Now, I understand the Rams, according to Diana's reporting, say, well, they would eat some of that. And that's fine. But since the start of 2022, Cooper Kupp has played in 23 games. He has missed 17 other games. So you're not, to me, you're not trading for a guy who's reliable. You're not trading for a guy who's young. And you can't, because of those things, give up anything more than a fourth-round pick. There's no way I would give them a day two pick. I wouldn't give them a third round pick. I mean, unless they're literally willing to eat his entire contract. And it's just, hey, you're getting him for the minimum. Okay, maybe I'd give him, you know, the Chiefs third rounder. But if the Chiefs have to pay any kind of real money, yeah, I'm giving them a fourth round pick. And I don't even know if I do that. Like, my question, if they did the trade for Kupp, then why didn't you just trade for Amari Cooper, who's making 1.2 in base this year, and is not as old as Kupp, and I could argue is better. It's like, I don't understand the thought process as to why the Chiefs would go get Kupp, but then not go out and get Cooper, who would have made more sense, and they could have outbid the Bills either with their own third-round pick or Tennessee's third-round pick.
Matt, would you be more interested in DeMarcus Robinson or Darius Slayton?
Slayton, by a mile. Not even close. Slayton's a real receiver. That I think moves the needle. Look, he's not great, but he's had pretty much on average 750 yards each of the last few years. He's doing that with Daniel Jones. I think that guy could have 1,000 yards in an offense with Mahomes. Now, I'm not saying, obviously, he's not going to do that in eight games, but like over the course of 17-game season, I think he could have 900,000 yards. He's a much better player. Listen, DeMarcus Robinson is useful. I don't want it to come off like I don't think he can help at all. But, like, let's be real. If they go get DeMarcus Robinson, they're getting DeMarcus Robinson because they know him. That's it. There's no other reason. Because there's 100 DeMarcus Robinsons they can go out and get. And so if they go get him, it's because they're sitting there saying he knows the offense, which I will say out front, that is the biggest waste of a line that the Chiefs always seem to kind of put out, this idea that, well, the guy's got to know the offense. You're a receiver. I mean, at some point, hey, go run a 9 route. Go run a 7 route. Go run. It's not a quarterback. You know, it's not the linebacker. It's not the middle linebacker calling the defense. We saw Drew Tranquil come in there a year ago in a much tougher spot when Bolton got hurt early in the year. Gets the green dot and says, hey, Drew, go get him. And it was fine. We saw Amari Cooper go 4 catches, 66 yards, and a touchdown in Buffalo in his first game. Like, the idea that the Chiefs can't bring in somebody who doesn't implicitly know the scheme is just crazy.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Verderam, going through some of the wide receiver options for the Chiefs. What do you think that Deontay Johnson would cost? I think it would cost your third-round pick. I'm not sure if it's Tennessee's third-round pick or the Chiefs' third-round pick. Is that about what you have his price range at?
Yeah, I have it as probably about the Chiefs giving up their own third and then maybe getting a seventh back. I think it'd be like a mid to early fourth-round value. I think it's about right. And I think if you're the Chiefs, listen, I mean, if it comes down to it, would you just give your third straight up for him? Yeah, you probably would. I don't think it would cost more than that. I don't think it would cost any less. I think that's the right price. Look, Johnson is 28. He's a really good player. You know, we've talked, Carrington, I have him as a 1B to a 1A of Cooper. Like, I think they're pretty similar type of players in terms of their impact. He would be a huge addition for them. And I just think if you're the Chiefs and you're looking at your team, you're looking at the roster, you know, you're going to get Amenihu back. Pacheco's going to come back. Juju at some point here is going to come back. Watson, it appears, is out for the year now. Maybe they get him back late in the playoffs. Hollywood Brown, you know, to my understanding, it's possible he comes back late in the year, for, you know, and then into the playoffs, but it's an unknown. You know, he's got a lot of rehab ahead of him. If you're them, though, you got to look at the rest of the roster and go, what are we doing if we don't upgrade at receiver? I mean, the rest of the team's so loaded. Even without Watson, I think the defense will figure it out, although he was playing great. Offensively, if you don't add a real receiver, you just make it so much harder on Mahomes and that offense to function against good teams.
One name that continues to pop up on the text line, and I don't have a good answer for this, and maybe you do have an answer for it. A lot of people ask about Hunter Renfrow. It is very telling to me that we are at Halloween. He's not on the NFL roster. Is he hurt? Why is Hunter Renfrow not in the league?
He just flat out was not good last year. I mean, to the point that I think most people feel like he's cooked. You know, if you look at Renfrow and you look at his numbers over the last handful of years, I mean, he's a guy who I think it's fair to say is probably at very best a fringe roster guy, which is why he's not signed. You know, it's weird because he's only 28 years old. But, you know, after having 1,000 yards in 2021 and being a Pro Bowler, he played 10 games in 2022. He had 330 yards. 2023, he played all 17 games. He had 255 yards. I think people just believe that he's kind of done. I don't know that I feel like he's done. I also don't know that he would make any meaningful difference for the Chiefs. But I also, you know, look, at some point here, they've got to be willing to shake this thing up. Because, look, it was unfortunate. You lost Brown for most, if not all, the year. You lost Rice for the year. You couldn't have seen that coming. But now you've got to adjust. And just sitting there playing Justin Watson and Sky Moore a whole bunch more, that's not the answer. And neither is playing Justin Ross or Nico Remigio, a bunch of fans asking me about those guys. Well, because they're not playing them for a reason. Because they don't think they're good enough to compete on the NFL level consistently. So you got to go out and get somebody. I don't think Renfrow does anything for him any more than some of the other guys we've talked about.
All right, last wide receiver question here, and I do want to go to some storylines. Three-part question here. Give me an unrealistic option for the Chiefs. That's them reuniting with Tyreek Hill. I would put that in the unrealistic option. Give me your best-case option. Give me your absolute worst-case option as we are exactly 2 weeks away from the NFL trade deadline.
Well, you took the unrealistic one. I mean, if I'm at least picking up the phone and calling Greer down in Miami and saying, hey, man, how's the first and a third sound? And just look, if he hangs up the phone, fine. But I'd try it. I would definitely, especially if they lose to Arizona this week. I mean, you got 2 games left for the trade deadline. Their 2 games are Arizona and Buffalo. Like, there's the world if Miami's 2-6. I'd call them and ask. I'd take a shot at it. But I agree with you. Look, it is highly improbable. Best case scenario, I think, is Deontay Johnson. I think he's the best guy out there. Hopkins is also, to me, a real weapon and a guy who could still play at 1,000 yards a year ago. And then, by the way, in that same vein, Christian Kirk is more interesting to me than a lot of people. Like, he's still fairly young, and he plays in their system. Jacksonville plays the same system with Peterson. So that would be a very interesting game. If they could get Jacksonville to take any of the salary, if I'm the Chiefs, like, I would be all in on trying to get Christian Kirk in the net. Worst case scenario, other than just doing nothing, I think would just be going and getting somebody who's a familiar face just because they're a familiar face. And again, I know that sounds like a shot at Robinson. It really isn't. I think he's a useful player. It's just like that, or if they, you know, if somehow they, you know, they decide to go find somebody else who maybe over the years has played, like if they bring in MBS, it just doesn't do anything. What does it do? You're not any better. You're going to play like a 60 snaps a game in a playoff game? Like, they've got to go get somebody who actually matters. And I don't think there's a familiar face out there other than Tyreek Hill that would move that needle.
Right now, we're talking to Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated for a few minutes here. Let's get to some of the big picture NFL storylines here. Matt, there was a time in the first quarter of that game last night when Tampa Bay went up 10-0 that I was thinking, man, Tampa Bay is kind of good. Are they a sleeper in the Super Bowl? And then Mike Evans got hurt, and then Chris Godwin got hurt. And now I'm like, are they even going to make the postseason? Like, it was the most NFL swing of emotion that I can remember watching Tampa Bay last night.
I'm with you. At 10-0, you're sitting there going, man, they're rolling. And, you know, unfortunately and ironically, it all kind of turned simultaneously because they were up 10-7, and Mayfield throws a perfect pass to Evans in the back of the end zone. And it was a play Evans got hurt on. Hit him right in his hands. He couldn't hold on, probably because he was in pain. Drops the ball and has to leave. And now, you know, there are reports he's going to be out at least a month. And then, you know, they're down 10, and I know Todd Bowles has taken a lot of heat for this. Look, Chris Godwin's in the game. You could argue whether he should or he shouldn't have been, but he is, and he fractures his ankle, and he's, you know, he's done for the year now. And I'm with you. You look at them now and go, well, Atlanta's better, and Atlanta should win that division, and if they don't, something's wrong with Atlanta. And, you know, not to swing it back to Kansas City. Kansas City plays Tampa in 2 weeks. And you got Kansas City here at 6-0. They got the Raiders, the Bucks without Godwin and Evans, and Denver. I mean, you can't seem to be looking at 9-0 going to Buffalo, which would be one heck of a storyline. But yeah, the Buccaneers, really unfortunate. I was with you. I was excited about them.
Going through some of the other storylines, last night I'm watching it, and I don't know why. I had it in my mind that I was going to bet on Arizona all day. And I was talking to our boss, Steven Spector, and he's like, why are you going to bet against the team that's got the better coach and the better quarterback? And I sat there and I was thinking about it. I was like, man, you know what? You're right. And I flipped my pick. And then you know what happened? The Chargers morphed back into the Chargers. Man, it doesn't matter who their head coach is. It doesn't matter who their quarterback is. It is in their blood. It is in their DNA. The Chargers will always charger.
I was sitting there watching that game, and about, I don't know, midway through the third quarter, I was like, they're going to lose this game. I don't know how they're going to lose it, but you can just see it coming. They can't score a touchdown. You know, that running game that was so vaunted earlier in the year, they can't run for a foot. You could just kind of see it coming. And, you know, once Arizona got the ball and only needed a field goal, you're like, yeah, they're probably going to get it. And they did. I've seen a lot of people talk about how the Chargers got to go get a receiver. And yes, look, their receiving talent is not good. It is not a good depth chart. It doesn't matter. They can't, like, yeah, sure, go get a receiver. I'm not even arguing that point, but Greg Roman doesn't want to throw the ball. And they're going to just check it down and check it down and check it down and check it because he and Harbaugh want to play like it's 1965. And you can do that. But what's going to happen when you play like that, you shrink the game, you don't get a big lead typically, and you end up in these games that could just go either way with 5 minutes left. And I don't care if you're the better team, when you leave a team in for that long, there are going to be some weeks it just goes against you for whatever the reason. And, yeah, the Chargers at 3-3, could they make the playoffs? Yeah, but the AFC West officially ended last night. I don't see any world the Chargers or the Broncos or certainly the Raiders are threatening Kansas City.
What if I had told you at the beginning of the season, hey, you know what, Chicago and Washington, that's going to be two of the better teams in the National Football League. It is crazy how things change in such a short period of time. I certainly hope that Jaden Daniels is able to go on Sunday because that matchup, just those two quarterbacks, number one, number two overall pick to emerging franchises. Washington-Chicago is one of the better games this weekend in the league.
Yeah, got flexed into the late window, and rightfully so. Williams has played well the last three games. Washington sitting there atop the division. You know, it is an exciting time for those two franchises. I'm based outside Chicago, and people are beside themselves because the Bears, it's the first time they've been over 500 by more than a game in 4 years. And, you know, for Washington, Washington's been a grease fire for a quarter century. So all of a sudden, you have these two storied franchises that actually matter again. And it's great. It's great for the league. It's great for those fan bases. It's funny because when you look at it, really, Chicago's probably a little bit more of a complete team right now. Better weapons, better defense. But Daniels is electrifying. I mean, you watch that kid play. And you know, every once in a while, a rookie gets off to a hot start and you watch the kid. And you're like, yeah, all right, he's off to a hot start, but I don't know. You watch that kid, he can play. That guy can just flat out play the game of football. He, as long as he stays healthy, he's the answer. The guy Washington's been waiting for forever. I'm excited to watch that game. Come the late window Sunday. That on Chiefs Raiders. That'll be a fun little window to watch.
I asked you this last week. Are you worried about San Francisco? Because I know everybody, oh, look at the talent that they have. I mean, we are almost halfway through the NFL season. The Niners are under 500. They don't have Christian McCaffrey. Brandon Ayuk is out for the rest of the season. Yep. And Deebo Samuel just checked out of the hospital for pneumonia. If you are asking me right now, I do not think San Francisco makes the postseason. I think they are going to be on the outside looking in. What side of the coin are you on right now with the Niners?
Last week I wasn't concerned. This week I am because of the injuries. Ayuk now is gone for the year. Deebo, look, I thankfully checked out of the hospital. Like that's not nothing, man. I mean, you had pneumonia with flu in your lungs. You're not just going to walk out of that and feel great tomorrow. I have no idea what's going on with McCaffrey. Nobody seems to. I've checked in with anybody I can think about checking in with, and nobody knows anything. So, you know, who knows? You know, there's this thought of like, well, he'll be back after the bye. Will he be? Why does everyone think? I mean, I don't know if he's going to be back. If he does come back, is he him? Is he 50% of him? I still think that division is bad, and I could see them just scraping a 10-7 and finding a way. But yeah, look, I'm more worried than I was a week ago because without Ayuk and McCaffrey, you're starting to get to a point offensively where you're going to have to ask Purdy to do a lot more than he's had to do. And maybe he can do it, but maybe he can't.
Last couple questions here. Give me a team that you think is maybe better than their record. Give me a team that you think is, how in the world is that team 5-2 or 4-3? Which one of those teams are on either side?
So the team that I just can't fathom how they have the record they have in a positive way is Denver. I mean, has anyone watched Bo Nix? They can't throw a pass. It's unbelievable. Like there have been more than a few games this year where he has thrown for less than 50 yards at halftime. And not because he's thrown the ball five times. Like, you know, he's 4-15 for 38 yards and a pick, and they win. And I give it to their defense. Vance Joseph's done an amazing job. But if you look at their schedule, they play Carolina this week. They'll probably win. After that, it gets rough. Kansas City twice. Cincinnati. Baltimore. And on the flip side of that, the team I think is better than the record might indicate, this team I actually just mentioned is Cincinnati. You know, the Bengals defensively, it's a wreck, but Anna Rumo's a great coordinator. I think he figures some of that out. And offensively, listen, Burrow's playing really good ball. They've got Chase. They've got Higgins. If that line can hold up at all and do anything at all, I think they're going to figure it out and get in the playoffs. And if they do, they're a really, really dangerous wild card team.
Matt, are you a pancake, a waffle, or a French toast guy?
I'm a pancake guy. Give me a buttermilk chocolate chip.
That is our guy, Matt Verderam, joining us on the show to update us on everything that is happening in the National Football League. You and I, we're always simpatico. I'm happy that you and I are on the same page about Cooper Kupp. When I saw that report earlier today, I'm thinking, he's 31 years old and he's broken down. Why in the world would you give a second-round pick for that player?
It just doesn't – square for me, and I know we got to go, but square for me, they wouldn't trade for Amari Cooper. And from the reporting that Nate Daly, the Athletic, gave, who's a friend of yours and a friend of mine, does a hell of a job. The reporting was they didn't want to go over the age of 30 with the guy, which, knowing how the Chiefs think, I would imagine, without verifying, I would corroborate that. Like, they have a big thing about age 30. So you didn't want to go over age 30 for a guy making $1.2 million. But you're going to go for an older player with a bigger injury history and a bigger contract, and they want more for him? Why would you do – like, how does that make any sense? It doesn't, and I don't believe it.
That is our guy, Matt Verderam. Appreciate you, Matt.
You got it, Carrington.